Dynamic Christians seek those who need the Lord. Dynamic Christians seek those who need the Lord. An interesting passage, Jesus in this 15th chapter, Luke's gospel, gives the three parables about lost, something lost. And we're going to look at two this morning, the first two, verses 1 through 10. And in it you notice that Jesus, all the tax gatherers and sinners were coming to hear him teach. And the scribes and Pharisees, both groups, started grumbling that he accepted tax collectors and sinners and he ate with them. As I've told you before, it's hard not to eat with sinners. If you eat by yourself, you're eating with a sinner. Now, you might be a redeemed sinner, but you're still a sinner. And they're grumbling about it. And after knowing this, Jesus then gives these two parables. Well, three, actually, but we'll look at two this morning. These two parables. Because they're grumbling that he, this great teacher in their eyes, they don't recognize that he's the Messiah. Some of them later do. And he gives his parable. What man among you, if you had 100 sheep and one was lost, would not leave 99 and go look for the one that's lost? And the answer, implied answer would be none of us would not leave the 99 and go look. Because we've lost one. We know where they are. They're in relative safety in this little pasture here. And this man goes out and finds the one that's lost, and he lifts it up when he finds it and puts it on his shoulders, probably implying it's a young sheep, and takes it back and then goes and invites his neighbors and friends to rejoice with him because that which was lost is now found. Then he gives another illustration. Oh, by the way, he added, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner repenting than 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. That wasn't accidental, that little part, by the way. And then he used the illustration of a woman. If you couldn't identify with the man, now some of you ladies might identify with the woman. Which lady loses 10 coins, has 10 coins, excuse me, and loses one? What does she do? She lights a light. Now, it wasn't easy like us flipping a switch. She'd light an oil lamp, which cost her money. And she sweeps the house looking for it. Now, most of this congregation knows what a broom is. She would have swept with a broom. Nowadays, we have vacuum cleaners and Swiffers and all kind of stuff. We don't have used brooms so much. I think Diane just uses her broom to beat me in the head, but that's okay. And hadn't worked yet, I know. And so she sweeps the house, and when she finds it, what does she do? She tells her neighbors and friends to rejoice because she had lost one, and now she found it. You know, most of us can't identify with having a sheep, losing a lamb. But we can identify with having some. Maybe you have an animal you like. Miss Margaret talked about her cat. That copperhead story brought up a memory. This is not really on focus here, but I'm going to share it anyway. When I was in Texas, we were having vacation Bible school, and it was the heat of the summer, and we didn't have enough stuff. We didn't have enough booklets. We didn't have enough things for all of the arts and crafts, and so because we had about twice the number of kids show up that we expected. And so me and the youth minister ran to Fort Worth, drove to Fort Worth, and it's about 35, 40 miles. And we were going there, and we went to eat lunch because we left about 12:30 because we had to make sure all the kids were with their parents or whoever were giving them a ride home. And then we drove to Fort Worth, ate lunch first, then went and got all the supplies because we called ahead and had them all out where they could charge them to the church what we needed. Then we got back, drove back, right? And we had, at the end of the educational wing where we were used for vacation Bible school, was the offices. And the door was locked. It was one of those glass doors, you know, you can see through metal glass door. And there was a note on it from the secretary. Already gone home. When I was opening the door, I didn't see it until it was too late. A copperhead got in the church, You need to get it out before tomorrow. Vacation Bible School, good luck. You know, that's the only secretary I've ever had do that to me. Hope never have another one. But, and we got to Copperhead. I got tickled. My youth minister was this big old guy that played football, you know, and he was huge. And he said, I don't like snakes. And I said, okay, it's probably not very big if she didn't see it until it got in. And we went and got it. And he was like, he had his baseball bat. He was ready to kill it. I mean, smash it. And I said, we got carpet. We don't need to smash it. We get it out. Then you can smash it. But if you lost something, say your pet gets out, particularly a dog. When you go looking for it, it's in your yard, or maybe you have an indoor dog and it gets out. When you go calling its name, would you run around saying, you miserable animal, when I find you, I'm going to beat you to death? No, you wouldn't say that. You'd be calling its name with affection and love, right? Right. If you lost a child that got away, left when they weren't supposed to, you wouldn't say, when I get you, I'm going to spank you. No, you'd call its name and be fretful, tell all the neighbors, call the police, and have an Amber Alert now. Because you wanted to find it. Well, I think that's the attitude portrayed in these two parables. The man who lost the sheep went looking for the sheep with love and affection. The woman that lost her coin, by the way, the coins represented here were 10 days of labor. So that would be a day's labor she had lost. And so, when she found it, she called her neighbor. She was hoping to find it. I think that's how we're to speak. Seek those who need the Lord. When I was a young person, what I call back in the dark ages, we had a song that part of the lines was, everybody needs the Lord. I'm a firm believer everybody needs the Lord. Some are lost in the sense that they've never said to Christ and they don't have him as Savior and Lord of our lives. Some are Christians who have gotten away from God and his teachings and his church and need to come back. Others are maybe hurting, and we need to seek them out. And as I tell you before, you can't mess this up. Anybody you run into, God loves them and cares about them and wants them to be close to him. You can't mess it up. But we don't look for others with this, I'm redeemed and you're a sinner and I'm going to share Jesus with you. We don't take that approach. And one, that's not biblically sound. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing that we've done except for accept the gift. And yes, we're to do it humbly and with compassion and with forethought and prayer, hoping that those we reach out to respond to God in whichever way they need to respond. And we, the church, have been commissioned to do that. To seek those who need the Lord. But just as dynamic Christians seek out those who need the Lord, dynamic Christians rejoice when someone accepts Christ. Dynamic Christians rejoice when someone accepts Christ. Again, in both parables, the man finds his sheep or lamb and he brings it back. He carries it as a burden. He doesn't want it to get lost again. And he goes and tells his neighbors and his friends, rejoice with me. I lost one of my sheep, but I went and found it. Rejoice with me. Remember, Jesus said there's going to be more celebration in one sinner repenting in heaven than 99 righteous that did not need repentance. And by the way, even if you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we still need repentance from time to time. I tell you, I pretty much repent every night and every morning. I told that to Diane once. I said, well, what did you do in your sleep? I don't know, but I might have done something. I'm just kidding. But I do, morning and night, because I figure there's something I left out. Now, I'm not paranoid about that. I do that with humility because I need God's grace every day of my life. And the woman did the same. She found that coin and she went to her neighbors and her friends and said, rejoice with me. We're supposed to have that attitude when somebody accepts the Lord. Rejoice! I was pastoring that same church in Texas that the secretary let the copperhead in on me and then fled because she hated snakes. And we had a lady come and join the church. Now, she had grown up in that church but had moved away, and she came back and she came up to me and said, "You know, James, I've lived the way I shouldn't have lived. I know Christians should never live, and I want to come back to the church and start serving God in the way I haven't served him in the recent past. And this is the church where I discovered God loved me and I accepted Christ. And I want to join this church. I've moved back to the area." And I was overjoyed. It was a few weeks and I heard some of the members talking, "It'll never last. She'll fall again. She's no good." And I thought, what a shame. What a shame for them. They missed a celebration. Somebody was lost, and even if they were a believer, they were lost and gotten away from the ways of God and came back. We were supposed to celebrate, rejoice. I get tickled when I do confirmation classes because, you know, this service is a little more formal, and some of y'all don't really like me walking back and forth. And, you know, I'm not always very formal. Don't worry, I get lectures on the way home after Sundays in the car. But sometimes when we receive a confirmation class, and I usually mess up the names, and we got 17 or 19 of them up here, or 15 or 6 or 4, whatever the number is, and they are confirmed that they have accepted Christ and are believers and they want to be a part of his church. And last time we had 3 that hadn't been baptized, so we baptized them. And a couple of you, I saw the smiles on the face and started to applaud. And then they looked around because, you know, we're not supposed to applaud in this service. And I said, "That's all right, applause. Get it. Act like you're happy. These people have accepted Christ. They're Christian. We ought to rejoice." Now, I don't want it to be like a pep rally. You know, I really don't think the chandeliers would fall down if somebody said amen in a minute. And you know, we're supposed to rejoice. Worship is us rejoicing with others how great God is. And when somebody moves from spiritual death to spiritual life, we are to celebrate. We are to be ecstatic. A miracle has been wrought. Somebody was spiritually dead and they stepped over to spiritual life. And if they walk with God, he's going to continue. They're going to continue to grow in what we call sanctifying grace as good Methodists. And we're supposed to be ecstatic. We're not supposed to be like those grumbling Pharisees and scribes or those grumblers in that church I pastored in Texas. It was only a handful of grumblers, though. By the way, she proved them wrong. We're supposed to be excited and pray for them and want the best for people. We're a community of faith. God's in the transformation business. Good thing, because I know where I started. I know I'm a work in progress, and some of you just shake the head that the bishop sent me here. But you know, what did Jesus say here? There's more joy in heaven when one sinner repents than 99 righteous who need no repentance. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and care about us and want the very best for us. We're so humbled, Lord, by your love and your grace and your faithfulness. May we be a people who celebrate worship with you. May we be a people who celebrate and reach out to others that they might have their life transformed by you, not us, by you. And may we be a people that are known for being loving and gracious and forgiving. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray.